Go ahead and turn to John chapter 16. Book of John chapter 16. Little Matt, will you lead us in prayer? John chapter 16, we'll begin reading with verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. We'll cease reading with these verses this morning. And you know, imagine living a life of follow the leader. Y'all remember that game, Follow the Leader? Maybe y'all didn't play that game. Maybe that was just one of them things that we did at McLean School, elementary school, first grade. I had a good teacher, and she had a game, Follow the Leader. She'd take all us kids out on the playground, and she'd make somebody a leader, and she'd say, everybody line up and follow him. And, you know, she would tell him different places to go. He might go up over the monkey bars, or he might go across the seesaw, or just wherever. And everywhere he went, you had to go. And we thought that was the funnest game. I mean, we had a ball with that. And all that just really a setup to get us to behave. That's all she was doing. She wanted us to all line up and go to lunch, and we'd do it. You know, so she'd just say, follow the leader, and everybody would jump in line. You know, but I thought about the disciples, and that's kind of how they lived their life. Jesus was leading their way every single day. And really, Brother Joey, everything that they did, he pointed to which town. We're going to this town. We're going to get on this boat. Whatever the need of the hour is, he just, well, this is the need of the hour. This is where we're going. We must needs go through Samaria. We're just going to go. And they just fell in line and they followed him everywhere he went. And throughout his 3 years, a little over 3 years that he did that, he warned them, he healed them, he protected them, he fed them spiritually and physically, he fed them. And I just have to say, if I put myself in their shoes, it would be very easy to get accustomed to that. You think about the football players, whenever they first get, go and try out for the team, and they make the team. They go in and they may have their own ideas, but it's not long before they get in line. They follow the leader. And they look to the coach, and whatever he says, that goes. Or you go into the military and you may have your own personality and do things your own way, but it won't be long. You'll be following the leader. Somebody's going to tell you what to do, and you just fall in line, and you get accustomed to that. And you get used to following orders. And I think that's probably the way it was with them. They were used to Jesus calling the shots. And so it would be very easy to get accustomed and even to become dependent upon that leadership. But now Jesus is saying to them, I'm going to leave you. And I've been teaching you up to this moment. I've been teaching you for this moment. I've given you everything that you need to go out into this world and to do my work. Now it's going to be in your hands. You will not see my face anymore. Of course, he mentions, no doubt, and he talks about rapture, and they have a question about that. And he says, you know, just a little while, you're not going to see me, and then a little while, and you will see me. And they said, well, we don't understand what you're talking about. But I believe we all understand this morning, he's talking about rapture, and in a little while, we're going to see him again. But no wonder in verse 6, it tells us that Jesus mentioned him. He said, sorrow, right now, sorrow is filling your heart, because I told you that. Well, no wonder, because they were accustomed to following the leader. They were accustomed to looking at him, to seeing the direction he pointed to watch him bless with bread, to watch him heal the sick, to watch him say, let's go to Samaria, or let's go to Galilee, or whatever the case may be. We need to pay our taxes. Well, Peter, you go catch a fish. When you catch a fish, you take the money out of its mouth and you go pay our taxes. I tell you what, it would be very easy to get addicted to that, to get accustomed to that. And so this morning, I want to preach a message that I feel like be a blessing to us, and that is learning to trust the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus went away, he said, I'm not going to go away except I send the Comforter to you. And he's talking, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you disciples. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you church, so that you will not be left comfortless, so that you will have a guide. A person that does not trust the Holy Spirit should not expect to receive comfort. And I believe that's the reason we see so much unrest in the world today. And that's not saying we shouldn't ever be troubled. I mean, we are human and there's things that trouble us. And yet, there's a lot of unrest among God's people because, as the Sunday school lesson this morning, maybe we're not as faithful as we should be, and we don't have that faith in God that we should, and we're not trusting the Holy Spirit for leadership. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, we shouldn't expect to receive anything of God. You go and read in the book of James, you pray. He said, you ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because whenever we ask and we don't have faith in God, we shouldn't expect to receive anything of Him. So, the Holy Spirit, we know that Jesus did go away. So if He went away, then He had to have sent the Spirit among us. And so if it was good for them, it's good for us. The Holy Spirit is among us. If He's not, we might as well just close up shop and go home. That's what we're here for. We're not here just to hear Brother Brad. We're here for God to send His message. As we live our life, we're not just going through life aimlessly. We have the guide to help us. And listen again what He said. He said that if I send the Holy Spirit back to you, He says that He's going to guide you. The Spirit, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Holy Spirit will guide you. That's still good for us today. Wasn't just for those few disciples there that day. It's good for us. And He lets us know that the Holy Spirit is going to be among us. And He goes on that He does not speak just any old thing. He said, he doesn't just speak what He wants to say. He speaks what He's heard. Jesus is telling us that with the Word of God, we'll be able to confirm God's Holy Spirit. He's not just going to say anything. Whatever He says is going to match up with God's Word. And so that's good for us today, because there's a lot of people that claim, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost. Thus saith the Holy Spirit of God," and yet it does not match up with God's Word. So we have a way to confirm the Word of God. And so He does speak to our hearts today in that still, small voice. That voice will be confirmed by the Word of God, because there are imitators out there. The Bible tells us that deceivers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And certainly there's a lot out there doing that. But this morning I want to encourage us. It is of the utmost importance that we are tender to the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what I mean by tender, that we do not ignore what's going on in our heart. Now, certainly the Bible says, try the Spirit, see if they're of God or not. So thank goodness we have a way to confirm. But child of God, we are to be listening for the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I think one of the great problems we face in our day, I know it is lukewarmness. That we kind of want to divide our lives and we have compartments for spirituality. I got this compartment over here is for my spiritual life, and this compartment over here, this is for my selfish desires. And the Lord said if we live lukewarm, He said, "I'll spew you out of my mouth." In other words, we'll make Him sick if we try to live lukewarm. But I think we see it in our day and time that the majority of people try to live lukewarm, and we don't want to give God fully all of our life. This part is for you. This part is for me. I'm going to ride the fence. I'm going to hold on to the world with one hand, and I'm going to hold on to God with the other. Can I give you some advice this morning? From a pastor that loves you, that will tear you apart. That there's nothing but harm that comes from that. We have to let go of one. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have two masters. But the majority of people seem like trying to live that way. And no wonder, again, there's so much unrest. No wonder there's so much trouble among us. And so that lukewarmness, the Lord warns us of that in our day and time, we are going to be lukewarm. We're not going to be hot. We're not going to be on fire for God. But we're not going to be completely cold. We're not going to let go of God fully. But we're just somewhere in the middle. Let me just mention some things. I think about a wedding. That's very important. You know, get married. That's usually, you know, most people's a dream somewhere along the way to be married. And a lot of times we look at something like that and say, "This is mine. This is my wedding. We'll do it my way. I'm going to have my way." And, you know, there's nothing wrong with planning things out and it being the way that maybe that you've thought about and desired. But I'm planning this wedding and this is my day, and this wedding should, I believe this, even a wedding should be planned around God. It should be planned around the Lord. It shouldn't be, "This is my day. I'm bridezilla over here. I'm going to have my way and everything's going to be just the way I want it," or you know, it all falls apart. But rather it should be planned around God. I think, let me give you another example, the weekend. You ever say, you know, "Friday and Saturday, that's my day. Sunday, I'll give that to God." The Bible tells us this is the day that the Lord hath made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Every day should be God's day. Now, there's a day we set aside to come and worship the Lord, but every day should be God's day. Each and every day, we should honor Him with our lives every day, and we should be looking to Him, not just on Sunday to hear a message, but we should be listening for that still, small voice every day in every part of our life. Bible says, everything you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If we're not looking to the Lord and listening for that voice, how can we do that? We have to be able to hear from Him. You know, I think if I find myself at a ball game, I should be representing my Savior. If I find myself at the gas station, I should be on the lookout for the stirring of the Holy Spirit. Remember Paul, as he's on his missionary journey, he gets separated from the rest of the group and he kind of is waiting on them, I believe over in Athens, and as he's waiting, the Bible says the Holy Spirit stirred him and he looked up and he saw everybody giving idolatry, and you know what he did? He preached to them. That's a man that was in tune. with God. A man that's listening. A man that is allowing his heart to be touched and then by faith being obedient to that call. The Holy Spirit will lead us if we search for Him with all of our heart. Now, the early church, I think about it in the book of Acts 13, we find early church, they come together. The Bible said they were fasting and they were ministering to the Lord all together as a church. And as they do that, the Bible said the Holy Ghost said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. I love that statement. You know I do because I've preached from it many times. But God, through His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit said, church, this is what I want you to do. I want you to separate two men, send them out, because I've got a work for them to do. There's a lot of churches, and I'm thankful that I still, you know, come here to this little church. Very faithful to do the work of the Lord. I believe listening to the voice of the Lord. I tell you what, there's a lot of places where they're listening to the voice of self. They're doing things their own way. Let's try this, see if it works. Let's try that, see if it works. Let's try something else. Well, none of that worked. We got to move on, try something different. I don't believe God, we're going to find where God said, church, you just try a bunch of things and see if it works. He said, listen. If we will listen, He will guide us. I believe it works that way, not just in the church. It works that way in our homes. Bible says, if God does not build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, a family come together and they're listening for the Holy Spirit of God to speak to their heart, to guide them in their way. God's not going to disappoint. God's not going to let you down. But I tell you something else. He didn't bring a family together and put that family together in holy matrimony and give them children and then decide, okay, now y'all figure it out on your own. Do a bunch of things and hope it's right. But rather the Holy Ghost speaks to our heart. And that word Holy Ghost, don't let that scare you. That is Bible. We as Baptists, we are to listen to God's Spirit, to hear that still small voice. You know, this early church, they heard from God. They sent out Paul and Barnabas, so the church was obedient to that voice. And so the members were sent out with obedience, and the Holy Ghost said, go here, and they went over here. And the Holy Spirit said, go over there, and they went over there. And there were times, Brother Joy, when the Holy Spirit said, I forbid you to go here, you need to go somewhere else. I wonder what would have happened if they had went to the place that God said, do not go. God forbid them. Holy Spirit forbid them to go to Asia at that time. I wonder what would have happened if they'd have went anyway. Or if they hadn't been listening. You see, it's important that God opens doors for us in our lives. And we need to be looking for those doors to be open. Philip. He's another good example. Philip was preaching, I believe, in a revival where there's many, many people were getting saved. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, you separate yourself from everyone else and you go down to Gaza, which is desert. It'd been so easy to say, but my goodness, things are going so well where I'm at. We don't find where Philip hesitated at all. He just took off going into the desert. And as he's going down to Gaza, he looks and there's a chariot going by and there's an Ethiopian eunuch. And the Holy Spirit said, go join yourself to that chariot. And he ran. And a wonderful thing happens because God is already working on the other end. There's a door that's open. God's already working. The eunuch is reading his Bible. He's at least reading the Old Testament. And he's reading the Scripture. And he says, Philip, comes up, he said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I except some man explain it to me? Look at that, open door. You've got a man that wants you to explain Jesus to him. Philip climbs up into the chariot and he begins to preach Jesus to him. He goes down, they see a little pool of water. See, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? Philip said, you just have to believe with all your heart. If you'll believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, let's baptize you. See, God working. God's Spirit said go. He went. God's Spirit is working over there where He said go to. And great things are accomplished. Go down to Gaza. You know, one man is convicted. One man is sent to preach to him. And whenever that comes together, great things happen. Listen, church. I want to encourage us this morning. He will guide you. God's Holy Spirit will guide you if you will let Him. Can I ask you, and really I want you to think about this even as you leave throughout today. Is the Holy Spirit leading your life? Are you looking to Him for all things? Or would you have to say, no, Brother Brad, I'm probably dividing my life into separate compartments. Got my spiritual life over here and I've got my selfish desires over here. We got to be careful with that. More, we got to be careful. We need to repent of that. If that's what we're doing, we need to repent, because if we're lukewarm, we're not doing any good whatsoever. What is a church service without the Holy Spirit led message? It's important, ain't it? We need to make sure that when we receive a message, it's from God. How do we do that? Well, Brother Brad, I trust you. Preach the message. I'm going to tell you something. I'm human. I am very much capable of making mistakes. How are you going to prove? How do you know when I made a mistake or not? Well, God gave us His Word to confirm that what you hear is of God. And if we didn't have that, then we could just fall into somebody, the next man come along and tell you the exact opposite. Well, you know, we trust Him because He's a preacher. Better trust it because it's of God. What benefit has a message if I can't trust it, if I can't prove it, if I can't follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit? I'm thankful, Brother Arthur, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is the leader of the church. I'm thankful that God set His Spirit among us. I know Jesus is the head of the church. His Spirit works among us. I'm glad we don't have to just shoot from the hip. We're trying to wing this thing. We're wandering aimlessly in the dark, or we just throwing something against the wall and hope it sticks. You know, the first time I ever followed a GPS system was Brother Jake Michael. We went to Cleveland that time. He was up at Cleveland in the hospital. That's the first time I'd ever really used a GPS. And I think I borrowed it from someone and put in the address to the motel I was going to go to. And that's a little over 1,000 miles if you plan on going to Cleveland. I'll just go ahead and let you know it's a little over 1,000 miles to get there. And I took off following this thing, and this little woman talking to me. She said, turn here, and you know, 2 miles, you're going to make this turn. And I thought, that's crazy. I wonder if this is going to work. I started out, I didn't trust it very much. So you know what I'd done? I brought a map with me, Brother Jake. That way I could confirm what that lady was saying to me. By the time I got to Cincinnati, I was weaving in and out of traffic like I'd been there all my life. And by the time I pulled in at Cleveland and pulled up to my motel, I said, my goodness, I don't have any problem following this thing whatsoever. But you know what? I put the map up and I took off one time following it to Houston. And I got to Houston, and it got me just as lost as it could. I didn't have nothing to confirm it with, and she was wrong. We need to make sure that we take God's Word and we confirm what we're being told. Try the Spirit, see if they're of God or not. But God's Holy Spirit is more accurate than any man-made device. He navigates the spiritual realm of our lives. We can trust the Holy Spirit with every portion of our life, even the part that you want to hold back. But this is mine. It may sound scary, but if you'll give Him that part too, He can do with that part what you cannot do with that part. He can take that and make it a blessing where you take it and hold it back for yourself, and you probably make a mess of it before it's over with. I know I will. Trust Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're lost. God's Spirit dealing with your heart, convicting your heart, showing you you need to be saved. You can trust the Lord. You can trust Jesus with all of your heart. And this morning, if you're willing to do that, He will save you. He'll save you to the uttermost. You won't have to worry about salvation anymore because He will save you fully to the uttermost. If you are saved, if you're not listening to God's Spirit, then it's time to repent. It's time to turn to the Lord and let God lead your life. Oh, I tell you, you looking at someone, I can be so stubborn. I'm so hard-headed sometimes. There's times whenever I know better and still do things, and boy, I suffer for that. So I ask you this morning, church, pray for me that I will be completely, totally submitted to God's Holy Spirit every day, every moment of my life. We'll ask for a song.